And this is Ozarks at Large. Today we start sort of a new series.
We do.
Monthly series.
It's one that we have talked about as a staff for some time. It's one I have thought about for a long time.
Well, there are a lot of places in Northwest Arkansas and our entire listening area that, I mean, everything has a name.
Right. And where do those names come from? It could be as simple as not too far from where you and I are sitting right now, there is Leroy Pond Drive, a street in Fayetteville. It's kind of connected to campus. In Mena, there's Queen Wilhelmina State Park.
Right.
Queen Wilhelmina was a real person on another continent. We're going to try to find out at some point.
Why in Mena is that named?
Yeah. Jenny Lynn in Fort Smith. Jenny Lynn was a famous singer in the early part of the 20th century. From what I understand, never appeared in Fort Smith. Why is that called Jenny Lynn? So the opportunities are almost limitless, well, what we could find out.
And even, you know, we're sitting in the Carver Center for Public Radio.
Right, right.
You know, who are the Carvers?
Right, well, we could tell you that
at some
point.
Yeah, we could.
They're very good people.
So I went just down the street a few blocks, actually, not down the street, but just not far from where we're sitting, to Wilson Park to find out who Mr. Wilson was, or Mrs. Wilson.
Right. So. Not the neighbor to Dennis the Menace.
Right. Groups of children attend swimming lessons on a sunny summer morning in the Wilson Pool at Wilson Park in Fayetteville. The kids, and their teachers for that matter, probably don't know the city's oldest and largest park's history, or where it gets its name. Lucky for them and us, Jerry Hogan, author, historian, and native Fayettevillian, does. As it turns out, the city park can be traced back to 1906 and to someone other than a Wilson. I met Mr. Hogan in the parking lot near the castle and the baseball field.
We are standing in the original city park that A.L. Trent, it was his private property, and he operated it for the city, which I love. I love about him. He's one of my favorite people in Fayetteville history. He's very civic-minded. It was his own private property, and he operated it for the city as a park. That's pretty cool.
From Park Street to the driveway by the tennis courts, and from Prospect to Louise, the 5 1/8 acres were owned and operated by the bank cashier and real estate man Albert Trent. We have him to thank for many of the trees in this area. According to his daughter, he planted over 2,000 of them. The baseball field was once called Trent's Pond, diverted spring water that made the city's swimming hole. Home plate was a slide. The dugouts, bathhouses. Up until the early 1920s, residents could swim for a quarter, 20 cents if you brought your own bathing suit. In the mid-1920s, Dr. Noah Drake, of Drake Field, formed the City Park Company and purchased the property from Trent. The park became a corporate-owned amenity.
The first thing they did was they built a little tourist camp over here. They see these stone buildings here on the west side of the original park, if you will. For the new automobile tourism industry was developing then, which is also quaint and kind of fun. And they were neat little things. All we have left are these stone buildings, but they're original from that time.
Those buildings are now used for storage and offices of the city's horticulture department. When Dr. Drake and his corporation took over, they also built the pool that the children are swimming in this morning, though it has gone through many facelifts since 1928. In 1944, the city of Fayetteville purchased the land from Dr. Drake, and the park truly became a city park. This brings us to the Wilson family, notably Charles Murrow Wilson,
whose family used to own everything from this in the park all the way over to Wilson Avenue, all the way up to Maple Street, back up behind us here up through Woolsey. And Charles Murrow Wilson's family actually lived right up here. He grew up right here on Woolsey, right up here. His grandfather, A.M. Wilson, Alfred M. Wilson, his home stood where the Pi-Fi house is at the corner of Maple and Wilson. That was at the northeast corner of Maple and Wilson. That was where he was one of the early settlers of Fayetteville, almost from the beginning.
The original Mr. Wilson, Alfred M., was a lawyer and an entrepreneur, and also briefly the mayor of Fayetteville. One side of the family was very political. Charles Murrow Wilson, however, was an internationally known author. He wrote the novels Acres of Sky and Rabble Rouser, as well as authored numerous articles in journals such as Reader's Digest and Life. In 1945, he sold Wilson's Pasture to the city for $15,500. The 16 and 7/8 acres from the tennis courts and on west to Wilson Avenue helped the park to grow to the 22 acres it remains today. When he sold the land, Wilson had a couple of stipulations.
It was right at the end, all of it took place right at the end of World War II, and there was a gigantic influx of veterans coming back to go to college. And so the city, Mayor George Sanders, had rented space. Now, it didn't look like this at all then still. There was no ball field. They had rented all this area, and it had trailers everywhere, up on the hill, out on the Wilson's pasture, everywhere. And Charles Morrow Wilson didn't like that at all. He wanted this to be a beautiful park named after his mother. Mattie Morrow Wilson is the actual real name of this park, is Mattie Morrow Wilson Park. That's what he wanted. And he wanted it to be a lovely place. So he didn't like the trailers, and I can kind of go with him on that.
Fights ensued over both issues. There were talks of building a boys' club here. Wilson wanted it to be a pretty park used by everyone. And the name? It remained Fayetteville City Park for years.
And that's the interesting part to me. When I grew up here as a child, this was City Park. It wasn't Wilson Park, but it had actually been officially, should have been Wilson Park since 1946 at the very latest, but it was still City Park. It didn't get officially named Wilson Park until 1969 because of the rancor created between the city of Fayetteville and Charles Morrow Wilson over those issues I talked about.
Hogan says Wilson was part of Fayetteville's generation of distinction. Around the same time as and friends with Senator J. William Fulbright and architect Edward Durrell Stone. Though Wilson passed away in 1977, Hogan thinks he would be happy with Wilson Park, that is, Mattie Morrow Wilson Park, today.
I think it would be kind of what I think he would like the way it is right now, tell you the truth. I think this is nice.
It wasn't until 1980 that the familiar castle, officially titled Point 7 by artist Frank Williams, was dedicated. This whimsical feature sits over a spring that feeds into the reflecting pool and Skull Creek, the creek that runs through the middle of the park. And if you've ever wondered where Skull Creek got its name,
that's actually named, when you first see it, you go, Skull Creek, we got somebody dead in here or something. No, it's named after Reverend William Skull, who I believe, I can't remember his denomination, but he gave like the first sermon of one of the churches here in town. I want to say Presbyterian, but I might be wrong. But he was from out of town, and he came here, and he preached here and stayed here. And they give him credit for maybe delivering the first official sermon in the town of Fayetteville. So that's why Skull Creek, not because somebody died or something. It's the man's name.
I was also curious about Lake Wilson, a park on the southeast side of town, if it was once owned by the same Wilson family. Hogan did some digging with old maps and property records.
And it says that land over there, right around Wilson Lake or Lake Wilson, whichever they call it, belonged to the estate of W.F. Wilson, which is William F. Wilson, who, to my knowledge, has no connection whatsoever to the Charles Morrow Wilson side of this.
Lake Wilson was dammed to be used as a water source for the city of Fayetteville in the 1920s. That dam is commonly called Tilly Willie Bridge, most likely after William Wilson's wife, Matilda, or Tilly Willie.
Our What's in a Name series will air about once a month on Ozarks at Large. If you're curious about why something or someplace has the name it does, send us an email at ozarksatlarge@gmail.com, and perhaps we'll select that for our next What's in a Name.